Today, is the Fed all talk and no trousers? Hi again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics from the latest post covering finance and property news. Given the importance of the Federal Reserve in the global economy, I always watch the press conference after their monetary policy rate decision, and the latest of which happened on Wednesday afternoon. Actually, Walsh has evidently considered doing away with press conferences, and on the performance we got, actually that may not be a bad idea. He spent the bulk of the 45 minutes offering what can only be described as spin on how the economy is performing. There was really nothing of any substance.
Today, as you know, our committee decided to vote by a 9-3 vote to maintain the target range for the federal funds rate at 3.5% to 3.75%. The committee is continuing its policy of making ample reserves in the banking system. The economy is showing impressive resilience. Even with recent shocks, the trends are positive and reveal solid growth. Job gains have kept pace with the workforce, and the unemployment rate has changed little. Inflation remains elevated relative to the committee's 2% goal. The committee remains resolute. You've heard this before, but we will deliver price stability. As before, the policy statement conveys just the facts. It's steering clear of forecasting, a choice we consider especially prudent at these uncertain times. Uncertainty, however, does not mean a lack of clarity. For some households, businesses, and market professionals, 5 years of high inflation have left a mistaken impression that's hard to shake, that the Fed's implicit inflation target was somehow above 2%. Let me reiterate, there is no soft inflation target. There is no soft implicit target, not on this committee's watch. There's only a target, and it's 2%. Not one of my FOMC colleagues is under any illusion. We have begun a new chapter, and we understand that the 5+ years of inflation above target cannot be cured in 9 weeks, or by a single month of modest price decreases. This Fed will not waver. Our credibility rests on performing our duties and delivering on our responsibilities.
The Federal Open Market Committee voted 9-3 to hold the benchmark federal funds rate at a range of 3.5% to 3.75%. Dallas Fed President Lori Logan, Cleveland's Beth Hammack, and Minneapolis Fed Chair Neil Kashkari dissented in favor of raising rates by a quarter percentage point. Actually, his initial statement was short, sweet, but, well, relatively meaningless. Rates didn't change, and there was no change to the accompanying official statement. Other than one tense change, there was no dot plot or projections this time around. We had the now normal promise of price stability and the recognition that inflation remains above the still clear 2% target, though more on that later. But Walsh, during the questions from the press, dodged left and right about future intentions and the Fed's reaction functions, as it became clear that there was more going on here, but not in a good way. No mention of the gyrations in the oil prices as the Middle East conflict spun out of control again, nor that both inflation and employment data in the US were surprisingly moderate. Walsh insisted policymakers' decisions to leave interest rates unchanged wasn't a sign of inertia at the central bank, which he reiterated is committed to tackling inflation. He rather pointed to the bond market and argued that higher for longer term market rates since the Fed's June meeting showed investors were hearing his promises to deliver price stability and doing the Fed's work for it by tightening financial conditions. Even while at some level we haven't done much in 42 days, Walsh said, referring to his time at the Fed, the markets have done quite a bit. and he attributed that to his own decision to pare back on the guidance that the Fed typically offers on future potential rate moves. You what? Even though inflation dropped between the meetings as US consumer prices fell last month for the first time in 6 years, as gasoline prices declined during a bit of a pause in the Iran war, while a separate report showed producer prices also rose by less than expected last month, three governors of the regional Feds voted to hike rates this time against unanimity in June to stay on hold. Actually, that was only the sixth time in the last 30 years that as many as three FOMC members dissented. Now, he didn't explain the dissents, which suggests to me that the governors were registering their belief that rates should be going up at this meeting, in line with the hawkish stance that Walsh had outlined back in June. Yet Walsh opened the door for looking at other inflation indicators beside PCE, and he suggested that there could be other tools beside hikes to fight inflation. He also implied that markets have done some of the Fed's tightening work for it. Markets reacted with the sharpest steepening of the yield curve in a year, and also a late sell-off for stocks that brought the Nasdaq more than 10% below its peak. The fall in the two-year yield suggests that traders think he revealed himself as a dove, but the rise in the 30-year yield, which touched its highest level since 2007, shows traders think he will prove to be a mistake, bringing higher inflation and then forcing the Fed to hike more in the longer term. That's quite a vote of no confidence, and the prominent emotion was confusion, plain and simple, as both ends of the yield curve retraced a lot of their moves after the conference ended. Stocks found the performance unconvincing and retreated from initial glee that a hike had been avoided. Within hours of his press conference following the Fed's latest policy meeting, analysts at JP Morgan Chase pulled forward their call for a rate hike from the second half of 2027 to this December. We believe this will add some urgency for the rest of the committee to act on its mandate, they said. The press conference damaged his credibility to some extent, says Stephanie Roth, chief economist at Wolf Research. His communication style appears to be backfiring and the market is calling his bluff. All he had to say today was, "We didn't hike today because I think inflation will come down in the coming months. If that's wrong, we'll hike in September." Obviously, he didn't say that though. Now, one rule of central banking is certainly confirmed. When a new chair arrives at the Fed, the market tests them. And Walsh is not the first Fed chair to miss the mark. Back in 2014, Treasury yields jumped after Janet Yellen said in her first press conference as Fed chair that rates could rise around 6 months after the central bank wound up its asset purchases. And more recently, Jerome Powell called the pandemic-driven inflation shock transitory, a term he later came to regret. It seems Walsh believes he needn't explain why he wasn't raising rates when inflation is too high. Talk is cheap. And Walsh may have a chance to course correct on a major stage in August at the Kansas City Fed's annual symposium in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. But when asked about his upcoming speech on Wednesday, Walsh said, "I look at it like a piece of blank paper right now," adding that he hoped to address some of the big questions that he's given to his five task forces, ranging from communications to artificial intelligence. So all up, for all of Fed Chair Kevin Walsh's tough talk about taming inflation, he's certainly not rushing fast enough to deliver his old talk, which will likely put more pressure on bond yields, lifting the cost of money and stoke inflation, not just in the US, but around the world. Maybe Walsh won't manage to rein in inflation that has run above the Fed's target for five straight years. It might be convenient to just let markets judge for themselves and let markets tighten Fed policy, but this could certainly backfire when inflation accelerates. Once again, it appears that the central bank is actually not serious, despite the word salad that we got through the press conference. So ordinary households, businesses will suffer again. And the Fed's credibility is at stake again. But more importantly, this spills out into other economies, which puts more inflationary impulses down into Australia and other places too. This is not good news. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.